Here and upon those who had a desire to be here but were unable. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's go to number 535. No, I probably don't need it anyway. I have a big mouth. I'm looking for the mic, I forgot to figure it out. So, well, number 535. The Glory Land Way. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the Glory Land way. And telling the world that he's a Savior today. Yes, I'm in the Glory Land way. Well, I'm in the Glory Land way. I'm in the Glory Land way, and heaven is near, and the rainbow is clearer, for I'm in the Glory Land way. This is the cause of gospel call today. Yes, in the Glory Land way. Wander from home, oh, hasten to obey, for I'm in the Glory Land way. Well, I'm in the Glory Land way. And I'm in the Glory Land way. Oh, and heaven is near, and the way grows clearer, for I make the Glory Land way. Onward I go, rejoicing in His love, and I make the Glory Land way. And soon I shall see Him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the Glory Land way. Well, I'm in the Glory Land way. And I'm in the Glory Land way. Oh, and heaven is here. For I'm in the Glory Land way. And to prepare you for communion, we'll notice hymn number 326. If there's anyone that wishes to take part in communion, we'll ask them to come down to take a seat on one of these front benches. And my brother in law gladly served him. 326. There is a problem. We'll do just one verse. And there is a fountain with love drawn from Emmanuel's name. The blood of love is Move on. We
The table has been left prepared for those Christians that had not the opportunity to partake of it this morning. As we can read in John 10:18, we read that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did not have anyone take his life. No one had the power to take his life, for he gave his life of his own free will, for he so loved this world. So that is what, as Christians, we should remember. Each and every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper, we have the two emblems. We have the bread that represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine that represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this opportunity to be able to come together on this Lord's Day, to be able to gather around the table, and for this Christian to have the opportunity to be able to come partake of the Lord's Supper, to take this moment to clearer mind, to reflect back on that sacrifice that thy son Jesus made on our behalf and willingly gave his life on that cross for the remission of our sins. And we just pray that as you're about to partake of this bread that represents thy son's body, that you would do so in a way and a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
In like manner, Christ passed the cup, and this evening, in like manner also, we're going to offer the cup for our sister in Christ. Would you bow with me? Dear Father, as our sister takes of this, the fruit of the vine, help her to recall Christ hanging on the cross, the shedding of his blood, the sealing of the testament, the giving of his life, that she and all of us who profess Christ will have our sins washed by that blood of his. As she takes this cup, may she do it in a worthy manner. For we ask in Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And as we can read in 2 Corinthians 9:7, that we should reflect on the way in which we should give, to not just be caught in the physical act of giving, but as we do so, to do so cheerfully, to not do so grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So at this time, let us give thanks for this opportunity to give. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the gift of life that you have blessed us with, allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, giving us, you know, all that we see before us, Heavenly Father, the beauty that we see, We're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us with the abilities that we have, the will that we have, the skills that we have to be able to work and to provide for those that we love. And we're just so especially thankful for this opportunity to give back a portion of the many blessings that you have given us. It's so numerous that we can never count them all. And we just pray that the sister in Christ is about to prepare to give, that she will do so in a manner and in a way that be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, before a general prayer, we'll do one verse of hymn number 2. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens raise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all the angels praise the Lord. All his hosts is gathered, praise him. Sun, moon, and stars on the high, praise him, O ye heavens of heaven, and angels of the skies. Let them praise, just as we hope of us, for the same love is God.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here this evening. We thank you for all the many blessings you have provided and bestowed upon us. We ask you to be with those who are traveling, those who are not able to attend at this time. We ask a special prayer for those who are sick, those who are struggling, those who are bereaved, those who are going through difficulties and challenges, trials and tribulations. Just be with them and watch over them as only you can. Heavenly Father, we ask you continue to guide, guard, direct us in everything we do each and every day of our lives. Be with Brother Hank as he brings us this evening's sermon, and just give him the courage and strength to adhere to your word and help us to understand it as well. We thank you for all you have provided, and we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we do pray. Amen.
I apologize, I got a call off our track and our schedule tonight. I'll let her turn to number 2. And then you exalted and is enthroned. We are exalted.
The scripture reading for this evening's lesson, titled Prosperity Gospel, will be taken from Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Once again, that is Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 10, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And it reads, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please them, I should not be the servant of Christ. And now for our brother, Hank Davis.
Good evening, church. If you would please mark your hymn books, hymn number 920, 920 will be a song of invitation this evening. 920. It's all good, Brother Phil. We just love hearing your voice, man. It's all good. That's right. It's good to be here this evening. It's good to be able to bring another portion of God's Word. It is good to hear the uplifting voices at the service. At this point, I pray it's been uplifting and edifying for each and every one of you. And if you are visiting with us this evening, we are so glad that you decided to come back and join us again. And we pray again, as always, that at the end of the service that you don't rush off and give us an opportunity to again talk to you. I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to wish everybody a happy and safe Memorial Day weekend. You know, this is supposed to be the unofficial start of summer. Well, surprise, surprise, right? Welcome to Michigan. But outside of that, this is supposed to be a joyous occasion, a memorial occasion. You know, for me personally, for me and my family, it is always special. My father was a Korean War vet, and he took Memorial Day very seriously. He was one of those that understood the sacrifice, who understood the falling of heroes. So again, have a very, very happy Memorial Day. Hope you have a chance to be with your families, to be able to do what we do on the official first day of summer, provided that it don't rain, and provided that the weather decides to cooperate and act like it's late May. You know, speaking of the holiday weekend, I know you've all noticed how much more expensive things are getting these days. You know, it was the holiday weekend, so I decided, you know, let me go try to buy gas for the week. So I decided to do this yesterday, and gas was $4.99 a gallon. So I'm just going to let you all know I now have 3 gallons of gas in my car, more than what I had. You know, and I finished cooking Memorial Day dinner for the family yesterday. And because of cost, me and our entire family, we will now be sharing one rib. I didn't say one slab. I said one. I'm joking. We're sharing 2 ribs. The point here, though, is right now is that for many of us, life is a struggle, whether it's about buying gas, buying food, trying to pay rent, folks, you name it. You know, folks are feeling it. They're feeling it. You know, and many individuals are doing all that they can just to stay above water. And as Christian believers of Jesus Christ, We too are doing all that we can to make ends meet, as well as relying heavily on our love and our trust and our prayer and our faith that our Lord Jesus will carry us through our personal storms and make a way out of no way. This is where knowing who Jesus is and what he says in his word, and that is why it is so vitally important that we don't want to allow our desperation that we have for our circumstances in our lives to get the better of us, to distort what God has actually said and what some false prophets and false teachers will lead you to believe. We have to know exactly what he says. When we go to Scripture in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, that's 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Fables, fictional stories, fairy tales, untruths, and even more harshly, lies. Which brings us to the title of our sermon this evening, Prosperity Gospel. Prosperity Gospel. What is prosperity gospel? Well, in a nutshell, it is defined as a religious belief that suggests God rewards unwavering faith and financial donations, really, with material wealth, physical health, and personal happiness. It is also known as the health and wealth gospel, or the word of faith movement. It is solidified into a modern Christian movement during the post-World War II era, with healing revivals of the 1950s, largely championed by televangelists, more so the televangelist Oral Roberts. Now, Oral Roberts, I want to tell a story. Now, this goes back some years ago. Gary told us on this very pulpit. And he was talking about Oral Roberts. And he was talking about a particular time in the late 70s in which Oral Roberts had gone on TV. He was one of the first known televangelists. He had gone on TV and he said, "I need $122 million to build a hospital. And if I don't get this $122 million to build this hospital, the Lord is going to carry me home." Then Gary would say, "Now, I don't know if you know about Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts was a faith healer. He would heal people by faith. Why would he need a hospital?" And we did the same thing. We just all started laughing. But the thing was, he makes a valid point that if we're healing by faith, then what is this additional funding for? So we don't want to talk about many of these televangelists, you know, that offers this bedside salvation, if you will. And I'm not going to dignify them by calling out any names. I'm pretty sure that we all know who they are. But, you know, they've been using tactics such as for decades to prey on the weary, the desperate, the naive souls for personal gain. However, it's not just about money. The danger here is that by listening and following these false teachers, these false prophets, if you will, and these false teachings, that a person freely put their entire salvation at stake because they sound so good. They're saying that God wants to do this for you. God wants to do that for you. Well, if God wants to do it, then I must be able to pull out whatever I can so God can bless me in this worldly way. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, this worldly way. But I'm reminded of a time when I was at work, and this young man that worked with me, I asked him, "Well, how are you doing today?" He said, "Oh, I'm doing good. I feel good about myself." And he said, "I was listening to one of these televangelists in the morning. I listen to him every day. He lets me know that I am good for myself, that I am responsible for myself. I feel good about me every day. I said, you do? I said, well, good. He said, what's he say to you about God? He said, yeah, God is up there. Oh, I'm glad he's up there, and I'm glad that that's what you got from that message. These are some of the doctrines that the prosperity gospel teaches and we're going to kind of go through a handful of them and what the Bible actually says. And why is this important? I'm going to jump ahead a little bit because we need to be able to encourage each other about the real gospel and what God truly says, especially in times of trouble. See, their doctrine or what they teach, if you will, says God doesn't want his children to suffer. He doesn't want anyone to suffer. He didn't want anybody to feel suffering. But when I go to Romans 5, 1 and 4, it says that, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith unto his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of the Lord. And not only that, but we will also glory in our tribulations, knowing that our tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and by character, hope. So if we're not supposed to suffer, how are we supposed to learn anything? How about this one? Man becomes a conduit between Jesus and God. That means they're saying that if you give me $100, Brother Phil, I know I'm going to make sure that God blesses you in anything that you're dealing with. Okay? And he's going to bless you more abundantly. The only thing, but we know this, that the only one that's getting rich is the individual that's telling you that. They've got multi-million dollar homes. They've got 5 or 6 airplanes. And not one of us can ride on not one of them. Okay? I want to just say this about this level of greed. Now, this coming 4th of July will be 250 years celebration of this country. Okay? So if we go back just 50 years ago, in 1976, there was one reported billionaire in the whole world that was a living billionaire. In 1976. How many do you think there are right now, 50 years later? Folks, let me tell you that right now there are over 3,400 billionaires in the world today. Think about that. You got that many people who are billionaires with a B. Why is there any poverty anywhere in this country, anywhere in this world? Things have shifted because of this level of greed. All right, but when we have people that can be so desperate and gullible, they will listen to anything. But Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So man cannot circumvent what God has already put together. That's in John 14 and 6. The only things considered prosperous is prophesied, if you will, as material objects and worldly gains. That is what they're teaching, that everything is right here and right now. All right? But Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. And Jesus would say, we can't serve two masters. For either we're going to hate one and love the other, or else we're going to be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is also translated into riches. That's Matthew 6 and 24. And then here's another one. Blessings are transactional. Blessings are transactional. Again, that's like buying 3 gallons of gas. You pay for a lot, but you get a little. All right? That's what that's about. 1 John
4, 9 through 10, 1 John 4, 9 through 10 says, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. And not that we loved God, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation of our sins. He loved us. We didn't have to do nothing yet. He loved us with his creation. When we go to Matthew 5, 3 and 11, Matthew 5, 3 and 11 says, Jesus blesses us because he loves us. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. So you all know about that. Because he loves us. Because of our struggles. Because of what we're dealing with. What we're dealing with on this earth. He cares for us. He's not solely concerned about what is or what is not in our bank accounts. He doesn't care. The prosperity that Christians should seek to obtain is to thrive, flourish, and to succeed in accomplishing God's will, encompassing spiritual richness, physical health, and having the resources to bless others and fulfill the purpose that God has for us. We can read more about that in Jeremiah 29 and 11, what God has for us. And we sing a hymn all the time that this world is not our home, and we'll go and we're just passing through. So why would we try to grab everything that we got so that somebody else can get it, right? So when we look at our scripture this morning, we'll go back to our scripture this evening. I said this morning, didn't I? Feeling good, though. We look at our scripture this evening, and we see that the Apostle Paul expresses intense shock and anger that the Galatian churches are quickly abandoning the true gospel of grace to follow a false legalistic teaching. He issues severe warnings against distorting the Christian message and defends his integrity as a servant of God rather than a people pleaser. Okay? Paul, again, is not going to say what people want to hear. He's not trying to, appease people. This is what I talk about, this bedside salvation. And when we look at the so-called prosperity teachers of today, are they not doing the same things that Paul describes? Abandoning the true gospel to follow false doctrine? For example, and these are exact quotes, folks. These are exact quotes. He says, God wants us to have, from prosperity teachers, God wants us to have all the luxuries of the earth. I thought I heard Jesus say in Matthew 6, 19 to 21, to not lay up your treasures here upon earth, where moth and dust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But it says to lay up your treasures in heaven. And neither moth or dust don't corrupt, and where thieves don't break through or steal. For where your treasure is, where your heart is also. And what about what Paul says about distorting the Christian message? Again, this is a direct quote. 99.9% of all people are good. They're good people. Okay. Then I guess where Romans 3 and 23 says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God doesn't exist, huh? If all people are good. What about in the Old Testament where it says where God despised the wicked? I wonder how good the wicked are. Another direct quote. The Bible says that God wants, this is from those teachers, but God says he wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to give you the Bible, the desires of your heart. Now, they use this one a lot, and it's Psalms 37. It's in Psalms 37. But let's start at verse 3 and read the whole thing in context, where it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and then he shall bring it to pass. So let's bring this around. It says, the scripture clearly teaches that we are to line ourselves up with the will of God according to his purpose, and we will receive desire of our heart according to his purpose, according to what he would have for us, according to the steps that he orders for us. Okay? It's not so much that what we desire, because again, we can't trust ourselves. I've said many a time, anytime you got to use an alarm clock to get up in the morning, you don't trust yourself. So to say that we get the desires of our heart based upon ourselves, no, it's based upon what God has for us. See, the thing about this prosperity thing is they think that God is something that we know he is not. We know God is not a genie. We know God is not an ATM. We know God is not a blank check. We know God is not a slot machine. We know God is not a Powerball or American Million lottery ticket. He is none of those things. As lovers of Christ, we cannot fall victim to the temptation of the get rich quick prosperity fable. 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many of sorrows." Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes that this behavior is vanity. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that what that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Which means that any and everything that we're talking about, anything, has to be the purpose of the Lord. And the one thing that God does not want us to do is to conform to what this world is trying to lead us to. That's important when you're going through troubled times, church. Because you can fall away. Your mind gets to go into, well, maybe I can have this. Maybe, no. Follow what God leads us to do. And don't be tempted in spite of the situations, in spite of the circumstances. Don't be tempted. Jesus Christ gives us a valid and a valuable lesson in this. Okay, when he was himself in a position that we could call weary and desperation, when he was tempted by Satan himself, after spending 40 days in the wilderness without food, without water. Okay? Any of us could find that level of desperation. But it says right here that when Jesus was tempted, and we can read that in detail, all of the temptations in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4. But one that kind of falls in line with our lesson this evening, it says in Luke 4:5-8, it says that then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and all their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, And all will be yours." And Jesus said unto him, and we all know it, "Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." Him only will you serve. The words, "it is written," stands out in this past passage. Why? Because Jesus clearly illustrates what it is and how it is we are to handle temptation. Especially from individuals attempting to present us a worldly prosperity gospel that Jesus himself never mentioned. But there is one gospel. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not a worldly prosperity gospel, but it is the good news. It says that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came to this earth, was born of a virgin, was raised from the dead. He healed the sick, casted out demons. He preached and he taught about the kingdom of heaven and how to get there. He died on the cross for remission of our sins. He got up on the third day. He ascended into heaven. And now he is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And we, as true believers of the living God, should only be awaiting the prosperity of seeing him again. In summary, the prosperity gospel, as we talk about,
is fundamentally flawed. It's a false gospel because it's faulty view and the relationship between God and man. Simply put, if the prosperity gospel was true in any sort of way, then grace is obsolete. God is irrelevant. And man is the measure of all things. And we know for a fact that's not true. Whether the discussion is about atonement, giving, faith, or prayer, false prosperity teachers turn the relationship between God and man into a quid pro quo transaction, or in other words, I scratch your back and you scratch mine, sort of thing. Either way, it's a fable. Either way, it's a fable. We read in Mark 8:35-37. Mark 8:35-37, it says, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul?" We know, folks, that there are a lot of desperate souls out there seeking answers in these desperate times. However, be encouraged this evening. Be encouraged this evening and encourage someone else that the good news of Jesus Christ is real. Be encouraged that it's perfect. And be encouraged that it's the only gospel that we will ever need. So, if you are here this evening and you're not yet a Christian, the Lord wants you to know that he wants you right now. And that that tomorrow is not promised. And this evening, if you've heard his word, giving you many scriptures to go back over and to kind of digest upon, believe it with all your heart. Repent. That means to turn away from sin. Make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and be baptized now. We have the water enough for immersion. And rise up a new creature in Christ. If you're already a Christian and you strayed away for whatever reason, know that Jesus loves you. He forgives you. He eagerly awaits your return home. He's always been there for you. He will say he will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? He loves you first. He loved you first. He just asks you to follow him. And if you are in need of prayer, oh, we have the opportunity to pray. And prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer works. And so, may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and the peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so whatever your needs this morning, this evening, I'll get it right. Whatever your needs this evening, we ask that you make them known, come forward and have a seat on the first pew as together we stand and sing the song of invitation. And may God continue to bless each and every one of you. Thank you.
I'm going to be strong.
Just as I am, thy love I know has grown every measure now. Now will be mine,
we want to thank everyone for coming out this evening. We want to thank our brother Hank for sharing that lesson with us so that